there are so many good things going on right now. I thank the Lord for what's been happening in our family. I don't know if you probably know too. Cade got married about a week ago. Yeah. Cade is married. His new wife's name is Maya. So pray for her. Pray for them. I have a beautiful great grandbaby, Cleo. And what's the last name? I want to test you. Bangura. Yeah. So Cleo Bangura. That's cool. And I was talking with the guys, the elders, and I told them about, you know, the grandbaby, great-grandbaby and all of that. And, you know, where Mac and Mo are from, you know, their backgrounds. And Brian sent me back a thing. I said, man, we have an eclectic family. We got so many different types of nationalities and all kinds of stuff in our families. And he sent back a little note to me. He said, PK, you don't have an eclectic family or a polyglot family. He said, you have a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious family. And he spelled it all out. So he was just telling us, he said, man, you have an unusual family. And we do. We have an unusual family. So and with all of it going out there. But it's just such a blessing to for things to be going the way they are. I appreciate God. How many of you realize that the best thing in the world for you to be able to do is be obedient to God? Do you ever stop to think about that? Does everybody understand everything in God? Is there somebody in here that ever understands everything in God? Anybody here? Every single thing you read, hear, whatever, you understand it all, huh? We don't, huh? So, but what God tells us is that the best thing we can do is be obedient to what we do understand. Just be obedient to it. It doesn't say you have to understand everything. Even when he told Abraham, hey, go to a place I'm going to, you know, show you. And the scripture makes a point of saying Abraham left and went out like God told him to do, not knowing where he was going. Most of us don't like that. We need to have a destination. We need to do this and that. Well, why is that? Because in the flesh, we want to be able to control a lot of things. How many of you understand that God is greater than everything that we think that we have power in? He's greater than that. Do you realize that God's greater than your thought? He's greater than your anger. He's greater than your pride. He's greater than your drunkenness. He's greater than your lying. He's greater than any of those things that may afflict us. He's greater than your disobedience. He's greater than all of those things. Everything that we deal with, all the, you know, like I said, sometimes the scripture tells us that our thoughts in the world, it's a world of iniquity. That is a statement, isn't it, Ernest? That knowing that our world and our thoughts is a world of iniquity. It's a world of iniquity when we don't have God. That's the problem. Or where we don't let God lead and guide us in it. So we go our own way, huh? Well, we say we're serving God. And we come to church and we go to Bible studies and we listen online and we do all those things. But we still want to do our own thing. So here's the thing I'm going to try and put across to you today. The best thing you can do is to be obedient to God, even when you don't feel like it, even when you don't understand, even when you don't know where you're going, just be obedient. And guess what God's going to do? As you walk in that obedience, God's going to bring you to a place of wisdom and understanding. Brian taught an excellent message a few weeks back about how wisdom is the principal thing, right? It's first. Principal thing means it's first. Wisdom comes first, and then by the wisdom, you'll get the understanding. They're closely aligned, but there's an order to it. Wisdom comes first. But even before the wisdom and understanding, what comes before that? What's the first commandment? What does the first commandment say? Love is first. If you love something, you'll give yourself to it. Isn't that true? So if you love something, you'll give yourself to it. I love God. I can stand here and say that, not be embarrassed about it. If I'm in the middle of a business meeting, it wouldn't make any difference to me. I'll tell people I love God. Why do I love God? Because of what he's done for me. when you have personal experiences, people can't take your experience away. People can't. And the other thing that we have to understand is, too, God is so great in everything that he does. He's greater than every weakness we have. He's greater than, like I said, when we have hatred and anger or whatever, any of those things. He's greater than that. His love overcomes a multitude of sins. Doesn't it say that in the Word? And people say, wait. You just told us that our whole world is like a world of iniquity. That's right. And if you love God and the love of God is working in you, it'll overcome that world of iniquity. It doesn't make any difference how bad your thoughts are or what you think or what you do or whatever. God can overcome that because he's greater than that. He's greater than that. So here's another thing that I like to tell people. The scripture says that he is the father of all spirits, right? So you have to stop and think about what that means. So you mean there's a lot of evil spirits in your world, isn't there? Is he the father over that too? Oh yeah, he's the father over every spirit. What if I told you that the devil is even a servant of God? His purpose is to show you what evil is. His purpose is to show you the opposite of what God is. We have a term that we talk about called Antichrist. In other words, it's something that fights against the anointing of God, right? An Antichrist. Well, is that a devil? Is that a spirit? Yes, it is. It's something that tries to change your mind from doing what God tells you to do. So it is Antichrist. It's against the anointing of God. Well, then you say to yourself, well, this anointing, do I have it? Yeah, you do. You have the anointing. You have all of that in you. If you believe in God, here's the key. If you believe, then you are part of him. You are a child of God because you are a believer. Now, what was the problem with Israel? Didn't they say they were God's people? What did they constantly do, though? Unbelief. Constantly didn't believe God. God would tell them, I'm going to do this. Wouldn't believe it. God said, I'm going to take you here and take you there. Wouldn't believe it. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to deliver you. Wouldn't believe it. And so if you're a creator and you've created all of these things and you've created the people that you're the God over and they tell you, I'm not going to do it, that's going to be kind of tough for you, huh? Especially as God. God said, I made you, I created you, I led you out of the wilderness. I led you through the Red Sea and let you walk across on dry ground. Took you to the other side, delivered you out of the hand of Pharaoh. I delivered you out of the hand of Satan. I delivered you out of the hard taskmaster. Well, let's look at the parable of that. Is God delivering us from the things, the spiritual kingdom of darkness that tries to pull us in to make us what? Not be the children of God. There's a scripture that says you were once darkness. Doesn't it say that? There's a kingdom of darkness, guys. And the kingdom of darkness has a prince over. The prince over it is a devil. It's a dragon. It's something. It's Satan. It's something that does not want to serve God. Well, when we start talking about these kingdoms, how much do you realize that those kingdoms are in you? The kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of that prince of darkness is in you. They're both there. What tree did Adam and Eve eat off of? Good and evil. So both things are there. What's the fight over then? Ah, your soul, huh? Which one that you're going to make a decision on? When Gary was here, how many of you remember him saying, man, I was on a fence for a long time. I think he said 10 years. I was on a fence. And he said Rick was watching him in spirit. He said, I was just waiting to see which side you were going to go on, Gary. I was waiting that whole time. And said, you chose the right thing. You went to the side where God was. Sometimes we can be in a struggle, guys, in discerning within ourselves whether or not we're doing the things of God, whether we're truly a follower of God, whether we'd be willing to give up everything for God. Would you? Would you be able to do that? Do you think God can conquer every weakness that you have? What if your weakness is being offended all the time or hating or being angry all the time? What if your weakness is drunkenness? What if your weakness is fornication and constantly you can't control your lust? What if your weakness is pride? What if all of these weaknesses that work in us, do you think God is greater than that? That's what we have to realize. He's good. Now, when we're in the midst of something and it seems like we don't have any power over it, we're in the midst of it, we say, oh God, man, I've yielded to this thing. I'm in a bad place. I don't know why I'm in this place. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know what we call that today when hope is deferred and it makes your heart sick? We say you're depressed. They give it a different name. The Bible knew what that was from the beginning. Hope deferred, in other words, what your expectation was, what you thought was going to happen, didn't happen. And then what happens? You get busted and disgusted. That's true, isn't it? And then you go into a funk. And I'm going to tell you something, you may not realize it. A lot of times we can tell that by looking at your face. Is that true? We can, oh, they're in a funk. They're in a bad place. You know why? Your countenance, you're smiling and now everything's different. Your face shows off on you, guys. A lot of you look at a person and say, wait a minute, what's going on with them? And don't judge it. Don't try to judge it. Say, oh, you're in pain right now or you're having a problem right now. Nope. You see the countenance fall, what should you start doing? You start praying for them because you may not even know the reason why. Start praying for them. Pray for them because we're talking about a spiritual warfare. Is God greater than any spirit that's been put out there to come against us? He's greater than that. Let me read a scripture to you. This is, to me, it's so cool. Listen to this. I think it's Job 33:11. I'm going to start at 9. This is Job speaking. I am clean without transgression. I am innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasions against me. He counteth me for his enemy. He putteth my feet in the stocks. He marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. See, when it goes one way and you think, uh-oh, everything's negative. But then it comes to the point where it says, God is greater than man. Everything that happens in man, everything that happens in you. I was in a bad situation last week. Okay, yeah. Are you here today? See, the thing that God wants us to understand is don't take anything for granted. Every time we could be thinking one way, what does it say in Ezekiel 38 and 10? You're going along just fine. I'm paraphrasing. And all of a sudden, an evil thought will pop in your mind. Has that ever happened to anybody? You're going along fine. You're doing good. You're not thinking about anything else. And all of a sudden, bam, an evil thought comes to mind. Where did it come from? In that scripture, if you go back and read the chapters 37 and 38 of Ezekiel, you'll find out there's a kingdom called Gog and Magog. You know, and what's happening is they're just evil spirits, evil nations. And what they do, they just try to put something in your mind that opposes God. Well, what do you think happens to us today? All the same thing all the time. There's something that wants to put an evil thought in your mind. And you know what it'll make you do? It'll make you contort. What did I just say? It'll make you contort. It'll change how you walk, how you look, your face, everything. Your mind starts contorting with that image that you just saw or this thing that you felt. And quit going by feelings. Man, if there's anything I can tell you about feelings, don't go by feel. Well, I feel that I felt like this and I felt like that. That's just your flesh talking to you. I'm telling you that right now. Sometimes some people act on their feelings. Whew. Don't do that. Because you may be feeling murderous just then. And people act on their feelings, don't they? Did you see the guy that they went to the school and whatever, shot up all the people recently, I'm talking about. And, you know, and they were asking him, you know, why he did it. And he said, well, I went to school with this one guy, the MIT professor. I went to school with him. And then the school that put both of us fourth is the school I went to shoot everybody up. So in his mindset, he had to blame somebody for his shortcomings. And he had to contort in his thought and how he worked. He had never killed anybody before. In fact, he had not even gone out and did some, you know, like target shooting or anything like that. He just got a gun, and he got one that could put a lot of bullets in it, and went on the campus and just started shooting people. Then went, drove 30 minutes away and killed his friend that he went to school with. Both of them were he was a professor of MIT in physics. So it just, people say, well, my intelligence and my ability to do this and the way I make money and all this stuff, nothing's going to happen to me. He probably thought that himself. He probably got up that morning thinking, I'm fine. And his friend that he went to school with walks in his room and shoots him. He's gone. A lot of those students are gone. A lot of them are wounded. Some of them are wounded so bad that they're going to have technical problems in their bodies for the rest of their life. Things that they're going to have to contend with. I remember when I was in Vietnam, when I came back from Vietnam on the plane, you know, there's so many things that happen on those planes coming back home. Everybody's happy to get back home, whatever. But you look across the aisle, there are guys that are missing arms and legs and people that are blind and whatever. They went to war. They didn't die, but man, the stuff that happened to them, legs gone, feet gone, fingers, hands, whatever, blind, whatever, blinded by napalm or whatever that happened, you know. A lot of guys that, like me, I was exposed to Agent Orange. Well, not as bad as some of the other guys. Some of those guys were exposed to that and died from it. Some of them are slowly dying now from an exposure that took them 50 years ago. And they're because they went to war, did what they had to do. And you stop and think about this. All of these things can happen in your life. I'm glad I experienced and saw some of the things that I did. I'm very glad that I did. Because I don't want to take life for granted. Don't want to take any of it for granted. I know that at any time, anything can happen to anybody. But if it's going to happen, I want to be with God. You see how this works? We can't control what comes into our life. We really can't. But what we can do, we can serve God. And God knows what's coming into our life. Does God have foreknowledge? Does he know all things? So even if something bad happens, guess what we say? Glory be to God. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. That's what we're going to do. Because God can take us through every trial and tribulation that we go through. Is God greater than that? Yes, he is. He's greater than your problem. Is God greater than death? Is God greater than life? He's greater than it all. If he's the one that gave you life, is he greater than life? It's powerful. You got to think about who you're serving. So even people say, well, what if I die? What if you die? If you're with God, what does that mean? You live. That's the powerful thing about that. People think when they die in this body and get put in a grave, that's the end of their life. No. You're just beginning another one. What if I told you the one you're beginning lasts for an eternity? Doesn't it, Ernest? You got to make a choice somewhere. Wouldn't you rather be with God? I would. So God is greater than that. You have to have a faith beyond the grave. You have to have a faith beyond your circumstances. Something may happen that upsets you. You have to think about what God's doing for you. What God is doing for you. Can you appreciate that? Can you appreciate the love of the saints? Can you appreciate the love of the brothers and the sisters in the body of Christ? Can you appreciate that? Do you know that your help can be there? And there can be help for that. There can be counsel. There can be things that the Word of God can go forth and heal you. Whew. I tell you, the healing we need, we think so much about this body, but the healing we need is our soul needs to be healed. Every one of us has a soul that's divided. Doesn't it's divided, and God tells us how it's divided. 13th chapter of Deuteronomy. And in that division, he's trying to show us that every part of that is a part we're going to come in contact with in our thoughts, in our mind, and in the world that we live in. And what God wants us to do is overcome that unregenerated part of that soul, bring it into a regeneration by believing in the Word of God and believing in God Himself, and let's heal that part. And then go to the next part and heal that. Go to the next part and heal that all the way around until we're healed completely in our soul, and then we become one and we're spirit. So God is telling us, I'm working with you. You may not even understand all that I just said, but I'm working with you. I'm going to help you to understand these things. God's not let you, is not going to let you go through your whole life not understanding Him. If you believe God, you believe the Word of God, God's going to start giving you wisdom and understanding. He's going to do that. And He says that He's going to do that because He loves you. The wisdom that comes from above, whew, that comes from heaven. That's going to help you through everything in your life, every single thing. And then the understanding that follows it is going to help you. What if I told you that if you put your mind in the mind of Christ, believe His wisdom and understanding that comes from heaven, that even your life here in this physical earth is going to be better. You will understand things better. You'll be able to go through things better, whatever. You're not going to always be in the dumps. You're not going to always be looking at how negative everything is. You will be looking at Christ, and you will be as a Christ, as a Son of God. You're going to walk through this world with your mind in the heavenlies, and all the stuff that happens here that you think is so bad, you're going to be able to walk right through it. Oh, it doesn't mean it's not going to affect you in one way or another, but your thought is going to be higher than that. So do we all run into problems from time to time? Is God greater than that? He's greater than that. Much greater than that. Much greater than any problem you're running through here. Now, what happens is when the problem hits us, it's so immediate to us. You know, it affects us so much. But what we have to stop and do is think and say, you know what? God's here. God is here. He hasn't left me. And this is the thing that people need to remember. God is greater than that. The reason He's greater than that, because He is God. Jesus is God, and He's in you, and He's helping you to live your life, helping you to do the things that are necessary for you to live for Him. So there's something about following Christ. There's something about being a follower, a believer. Some people don't believe. Some people come to church every week, every Wednesday, and they don't believe. They don't believe God can take care of things. They don't believe God is greater than their problem. But you better start believing God's greater than your problem. You know why? Because He's the only one that can solve your problem. The only one that can solve your problem. That man says, I haven't seen a man yet that can jump inside your thought and change your thought and make you come out right. But I do know a man that is spirit, that is Christ, that's in your thought, that can change your thought. But any man out here, oh, they try. You go to see therapists and counselors and all that stuff, and they try to tell you this is how this is going to work. But all they can speak to you about is what goes on here. They compare it to things here. What about heaven? What about the Spirit of God? What about God conquering everything that comes into your mind? Doesn't it say, I think it's 2 Corinthians, is it 10, where it talks about that, where it says He's going to bring every thought under subjection to Him. Can a man do that? No way. But God said, I'm going to bring every thought in subjection to me. Every high-minded and exalted thing, everything that causes you a problem, I'm going to bring into subjection to me. Why will He do that? Because you believe in God. And because God is in you, because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. He's going to do that because His Son is in you. And as His Son moves in you, you're going to move in that Son and believe Him. That's the way it works. And when I say move, going through your life every day, every thought, everything that you go through, you have Christ with you. That's what you have to believe. And you got to believe He's greater than everything that comes against you. What does that scripture say? He's more than the world against us. God in you is more. He's greater than the world that's against you. I'm not quoting it right, but that's how what it turns out to be. Is he greater than that? He's greater than the whole world that comes against you. And sometimes we feel the world is coming against us. Don't we feel that way? We feel like the world is coming against us. But guess what? I got a God that created a world. And he knows how to get you through all of that mess that comes against you when you feel like the whole world's against you. Really, it isn't, but that's how you feel. And the God that I serve is right there with you. He said, yeah, I felt that too. The whole world was against me and put me on a cross and crucified me. Oh, yeah. Does he know? He knows. He knows everything you're going through. Is God greater than that? Yes, he is. Listen to this. 1 John 3:20. I love this scripture. How many of you ever felt condemned by things that you did? All of us have. For if our heart condemn us, and guess what? It's not God condemning you. Listen to what that just said. If our heart condemns us, how we think. Have you ever thought about how bad and ugly and terrible you are? That's how you think about yourself. You judge yourself. God doesn't do that. Guess who's doing that? Satan. He wants you to partake of his condemnation, so he makes you feel bad about yourself, is how he does it. Now listen to what God says about that. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. He's greater than that. If our heart condemns us, how we think is condemning us, God is greater than that. For our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. You got to believe God knows all things. And if he knows all things, he knows everything that's coming against you right then. So then look at the next part he says after that. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. That's what God wants us to do. Build our confidence in him. Because then we realize in every situation he's there and he doesn't condemn us. So if he's not condemning us, what is he trying to give us? Confidence that he's there and that he's going to help us to overcome. That's it. This is one of my favorite scriptures because this is in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your fire. God is right in there. Remember the three Hebrew boys? They were thrown into the fire, and then the king looks in and says, wait a minute, I see four in there. And the fourth one was like the what? The Son of God, it says. How'd that king know that was the Son of God? God let him know. And when they came out of the fire, was anything burnt on them? Not one thing. Their hair wasn't singed, their clothes, nothing. And the fire had been made 7 times hotter than what it was supposed to be. The guys that threw them in there died throwing them in there. That's how hot the fire was. But they walked up and down in the fire. Just walking. I imagine within myself. Just walking, turn around, walk the other way and say, oh, King, these flames aren't doing nothing to us. Why? Because the Son of God is in these flames with me. Whew. And then they delivered him out of there. And the king said this, you know what? We're going to put a decree out. Everybody's going to worship the God of these three Hebrew boys now. Because only a God could do what he did. So what it's telling us is that Jesus is in the fire with us. When we're having a problem, Jesus is in the fire with us. He is. If we pay attention to it, he's greater than the fire. He's greater than the thing we're going through. Greater than the trial. Greater than our weakness. He's greater than that. Greater than our thoughts. Greater than our anger. Greater than our pride. He's greater than that. And he can help us to come back to a place of humbleness and believing him, and then we walk with him. We walk in the light as he's in the light, don't we? We follow him. You keep following Jesus, Jesus will take you through some tough things, man. They'll be tough, but you'll make it through because Christ is with you. So that scripture is powerful, very powerful. Let me read another one. I think it's 1 John 5:9, I think. Is that where it's at? Here's one of Ernest's great scriptures. He loves this. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is what? Oh, he's greater than that, huh? His witness is greater than any witness of man. A man can tell you, yeah, I did this, this, and that, and this, whatever, and that, yeah, but not everything worked for me, right? But what about when you're with God? If you're with God, his witness is greater. He'll pull you through everything. Man, how did you make it through that? The witness of God is greater. God's witness in me, his son in me, pulled me through it. He's greater than that. Ah, that's how you made it. Yeah, it wasn't me, man. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's how I made it. It was Christ in me that caused me to cross over and to make it. It was Christ in me that gave me the strength. It was Christ in me that took away the weakness. It was Christ in me that changed my thought. It was Christ in me that gave me power to overcome the wiles of the devil. It was Christ in me that did it. He's greater than that, than what you're going through. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar. God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So what's he saying about being a liar? You don't believe what the scripture says about his Son. You don't believe what the Word says about his Son. You don't believe what the Spirit said about his Son. So you are a liar, because that is true and you are false. That's it, because that's real. That's the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Guess what? He meant what he said. I'm the only way you can go. I'm the only truth there is, and I'm the only life you can gain that's going to be eternal. I'm the only way you can do it. He was standing before Pilate, and Pilate thought he had some type of power over him. And he didn't realize Jesus came to die. But Pilate asked him, he said, what is truth? Go back and read it. He asked him what truth was. And Jesus told him, he said, you know what? I was born to do this. I was born to come here and die and stand before you and let you condemn me and put me on a cross. I was made for that. You know why? Because I'm going to pick myself up again. After you kill me, I'm going to resurrect myself. Even death had no power over him. He said, I received a commandment from my Father. Lay your life down for all of humanity, for sin, for iniquity, everything. Lay your life down. But son, pick it back up again. That's what the Father told him. You lay it down, now resurrect and pick it up again. And he did it. That's the difference between other people that die and Jesus Christ. He resurrected. Now, here's the thing he said. If we be risen with Christ, oh, wait a minute. So Christ will resurrect us too when we go into death? Yes, he will. What if it's a death while we're still walking around living? In other words, we went into the carnal mind. We did things that brought death to our thoughts and our relationships and whatever. Can he take care of that too? Can he resurrect you in that? Can you think something wrong, change it to right by repentance, and God resurrects you again so you can be right? Whew. Sometimes it's so hard for us, though. Oh, why? Because there's pride there. Kill that pride. Humble yourself. Allow God to raise you up again. Can't do it. Oh, I had an expectation. What was your expectation? I wanted it to go my way. We all do that, don't we? I want everything to go my way, Lord. I just want it to go my way. I don't want to have any problems, nothing. I just want everything to be hunky-dory and perfect. Is that life, guys? No, it isn't. I'm going to tell you, we're all going to run through problems in life, but that's what I love about Jesus. He said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation, which just means trouble. You're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Right? He said, be of good cheer. In other words, he tells us to be joyous when we go through those things. Wait. You mean when you go through a hard time, you're supposed to have joy? If you believe in Christ, you do. Because you know whatever happens, you're in his hands. He's greater than that. He's greater. Very powerful. So that scripture, you all know it. Some people know it by heart. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Ooh, isn't that good? He's telling you, you're going to go through places of death, shadow of death. Don't camp out there, guys. Don't stay in depression. Don't stay in the wrong thought. Don't stay in that thought of pride. Don't stay in that place where you expect everything to come your way, the way you want it. Don't stay there. You got to realize that you're going to have trials and tribulations in this life, and God is there to help you to overcome them. Isn't that good? He's greater than your trials and tribulations. He's greater than that. Much greater. But you have to come to that place where you believe it. You believe it, it'll start working for you. You don't believe it, then you'll be down in the dumps all the time. Be one thing after another. One horrible thing after another happening. One thing after another. One thing after another. Why? You never believed in God. You never believed in him. Believe him for what he has said and what he's done for you. Some of you have had some fantastic things done for you, but you take it for granted. Don't take it for granted, because God's going to have to come back and rescue you again another time. So don't take it for granted. Believe him. Say, Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me, and I know for anything I go through in the future, you can do it again. That's the mind he wants you to have. Faith in God. Let your faith be in God. Let your trust be in God. I'm going to go to the old Rick thing. Trust, just trust God. Just love God. Just love God. Oh, wait a minute, that doesn't answer my question. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Just love God. Just trust God. And as he takes you through these things, at these words of God that you've heard preached and that you read work in your life, then you'll start seeing this is real. This is real. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Literally believe that and God will bless you. He's greater than that. Hope you got something out of what I said today.